kids. In Banana Jones here again. How are we? Good. I don't know about you guys, but I've been spending all week traveling the globe, looking for far distant lands, and trying to find the real answers, the treasures of this life. I've been having a really hard time. Has anyone ever had a hard time trying to find some treasures of life? Too young, fair enough. Has anyone out there ever had challenges finding treasures of life? Yes, I know, it's been really tough. And I've been searching high, and I've been searching low, and I've been trying to find where you would keep these treasures. Has anyone got any ideas where you might keep the... Yeah, where do you think? Maybe in the middle. Keep the treasures in the middle. I'm not sure what that means, but in the middle. Yeah, kid. In your... Come up here for a second. What's your name? Elijah. Pleased to meet you. My name's In Banana Jones. Elijah, he says you keep your... Now, hang on a second. I was just checking this out, Elijah. Help me out here, okay? So it says here, and in this unusual ancient text that I've discovered, it says here, do not store up treasures on earth, so yep, no, where moths and rust can destroy them and thieves can break in and... Who likes thieves? They're robbers. No, we don't like robbers, do we? Instead, store up your treasures in heaven where moths and rust can't destroy them and thieves can't... I like this idea, where thieves can't break in and steal them. Hang on, Elijah, here you are. Matthew 6:21, you've got it. Mate, kid, you're pretty clever. Your heart will always be where your treasure is. Round of applause for Elijah here. Well played, sir, well played. Grab a seat, Elijah, well played. So what Elijah's telling me is that wherever your heart is, whatever you store up in your heart, that's what's treasure, that's what's important to you. I wonder what that means, though. What does it mean, what you store up in your heart? Because that's pretty tricky. Because for me, my heart just has blood in it. I don't know about you, but that can be pretty gross, can't it? So what do you think it means? What do you think it's meaning when it's saying that what sort of treasure you've got to stare in your heart? What sort of treasure do you think it's talking about? Yeah. Talking about God. I think that's a good idea. Maybe that's why I shouldn't be traveling so far, high, low, all that sort of stuff, distantly. I should have just come here and talked with you guys, shouldn't I? That would have made it much easier. Have you guys been learning any of this sort of stuff in KL Kids upstairs? You have been? Yes, probably yes. And have you had to travel to far distant lands to discover this, or is it all the answers that you're going to discover upstairs? They're upstairs. Well, then why is everyone hanging out down here? All the treasure chest is up there. So what you're saying is we need to get up there as quick as we possibly can and discover what other things about treasures that we can store up in our hearts. Who thinks that a good idea? Who else thinks that's a good idea? Oh, excellent. Hey, do you reckon that the mums and dads and grandparents are going to discover about treasures down here as well? Tough critics. Okay, I'll tell you what. Now, it says here, so you saying God is what you've got to have in your heart. So I reckon what we need to do right now is let's talk to God and then we'll head off on our adventure. Who's with me? I said, who's with me? Oh, okay, that'll do. Let's pray, hey? Okay. Dear God, we want to thank you for the fact that you give us your treasure and that we need to have that in our hearts. It's not treasures that can be stolen by robbers or that can be destroyed, but it's the everlasting and forever treasure that you give to us, God. We pray for these kids here right now that as they go up to KL Kids, that they will learn more about you and that they will grow in their faith in you and that they will trust you and follow you all the days of their lives. And we pray these things in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Let's head on the next adventure, kids. Let's get going.
morning's reading is from Romans chapter 8, 14 to 17, and we're using the Amplified Version. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, that is Father. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering, if we are to share his glory. Thank you.
Father, as we open your word and we start to look a little bit more at being a disciple of Jesus Christ and what that means individually and corporately, I pray, Lord God, that the power of your Holy Spirit would open our eyes. Let us see what you've got for each and every one of us. In your precious Son's name. Amen. As you've heard, today's Bible reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through to the about verse 17, somewhere there. So, the Father heart of God. The kids are learning about God as their Heavenly Father today. This was a massive area of ministry in my life. Like many young Aussie boys back when I was growing up, my dad had the understanding that his job was to put a roof over our head, food on our plate, and clothes on our back, and beat the daylights out of us when we were naughty. And he was very good at all four of those things. I don't think he enjoyed the last one, and we certainly didn't enjoy it very much either. But my relationship with my dad was not a deep relationship. It was a shallow relationship. He was my father, and I loved him and appreciated all he did and understood that he would take the night shift as a male nurse or as an orderly before that just because he could get paid more and he could do more for us. But that meant he was never home. And if he was home, he was asleep. And we would get in trouble for waking him up. So as a young man in my 18 to 20-year-old age range, 21, I went through a ministry in the area of the Father Heart of God. And some very good, loving and caring people walked with me through the understanding of knowing God as my Father. It's a big one, isn't it? I mean, we have a God that is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we miss out on a whole part of who God is if we cannot relate to this. One of my first understandings of the understanding of Father God was at RI in high school. Yes, once upon a time we had RI in high schools. And even in my youth pastor days, we used to do RI in high schools. And I was at Mount Gravatt High, and some people from Garden City AAG Church were coming into our school very spasmodically. It wasn't on a weekly basis, so we never knew whether we were getting RI. And this one day, this young guy came in. It was before youth pastors existed, so he was just a guy teaching RI. And he talked about the Father God. And the guy next to me went, man, does that mean God's a grumpy old bloke in heaven who beats the bejesus out of me when I'm naughty? And he just went on in that attitude. And I'm thinking, well, I'm pretty sure that there's something different about this Father heart of God and this God who is known as our Father. So let's delve into what the Bible says about this aspect of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, concentrating mainly on Father God today. But let's go back to the very beginning. In the Old Testament, God went by a number of names. Some of these names I will not pretend to pronounce correctly because they're in a different language and there's nuances there. So I'm going to spell them out or say them how I understand them to be said. And if you know that they're said a different way, then again, may your grace be upon me. The first one is Elohim, meaning God, which was said in the Bible 2,570 times. It was an understanding of who God was, certainly to the Israel people. The next one was the one that they tried not to pronounce ever, because it was his holy name, Yahweh. And it was said in the Bible, the Old Testament, 6,823 times. Yesterday, at the day, National Day of Prayer and Thanksgiving, there were a whole bunch of different people from different churches, and there were a number from the House of Prayer. And there was a lady there who, when she prayed in Old Testament English. It was amazing. And she would call God Yahweh, and a whole bunch of other stuff would roll off. And when she talked about Jesus, she called him Yeshua. And it was amazing to hear this come out in prayer. And it's ways that we can talk about God, because the Old Testament says it loudly and clearly. The word Yahweh doesn't often get said loudly and clearly in your Bible. But when you read capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is Yahweh. Or as some of you may understand, Jehovah. All right, so the other words came into being with Yahweh. There would be Yahweh Shalom, which is God is our peace. Yeah, Yahweh Jireh or Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. Yahweh Nissi, you know that one? Who said banner? Very good, well done. If I had a chockey, you'd win. Banner, Jehovah is our banner. And Yahweh Rophe, healer. Very good, you guys are excellent. Excellent work. So Yahweh Rophe, God is our healer. Now, these are things that the Jewish people talked about as their God. Another one is Adonai, which was little L, little O, little R, little D, and that is said 300 times throughout the Old Testament. The other one is El. El is just little God, little G, little O, little D. So El was all the little gods all over the place. So if the Moabites had a God, that was El. Little G, little O, little D. But the Jewish people would also put El in front of certain words like El Shaddai, which means God. Oh, I've tricked you. God Almighty, the Almighty God. That's a good one to have, isn't it, when you're praying, especially if you're David and you're in a tent in the middle of the desert and the bad guys are all around you, or if you're in a cave and your king is all around you. El Olim, which is everlasting God, the God who is ever and ever. So we could go into the delve into that, and you can pray and use those words or those names of God, and that's good. But in the New Testament, there is one name of God which is number one by a country mile. Anyone want to have a go at what it is? Abba. Yeah, Father. Which is easy to understand, because who is the number one person telling us about who God is in the New Testament? His Son. So Jesus. So when Jesus is talking to his disciples, when Jesus is talking to the people of Israel, he's relating to them and talking to them about his dad, who is the God Almighty, El Shaddai, who is Yahweh, who is Jehovah, who is the great I Am. Do you think that rocked the early century people hearing about their God in that way? I reckon it did. I reckon it was a massive overhaul for the understanding of the Jewish people. Who is this rabbi? And by the way, he's not a proper rabbi. He's just rocked up and he's teaching these things with amazing authority and power. So, okay, maybe he is a good rabbi. But he's teaching us to talk to God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, as our Father. I mean, it gets very early in the book of Matthew where the disciples say to him, teach us how to pray. And how does he teach them how to pray? He tells them to say, our Father who art in heaven. Wow. I reckon there was a few of those early disciples that were going, are you serious? You want us, good Jewish boys, who are taught to fear the Almighty God, you want us to call him Father? And in fact, the word Abba, which a lot of the time is translated Father, but can be translated Daddy or Papa. You want us to call the Almighty God Daddy? Are you serious? And Jesus is opening up this Father-Son relationship, letting us see what it's like for God to be in relationship, Father and Son. That we too, as disciples, to know the Father in the same way and call him Daddy. Everything we know about God as being our Redeemer, our Creator, the Great Judge, the first and foremost of all beings, comes from knowing him as Father. Mark Stibbe, who wrote a book called I Am Your Father, I wonder if he's a Star Wars fan, I Am Your Father, said this: if we just call God, God, our Creator, our Supreme Being, then we can be like so many who believe in God but don't know him. That's an interesting line, isn't it? If we just say God, our Creator, God, the Supreme Being, we could be like a Hare Krishna. We could be like anyone in other religions. But in Christianity, because of what Jesus taught us, we can call Almighty God our Father. Daddy. Daddy. And that brings us to the scripture that we're looking at today. Romans chapter 8. What an amazing scripture. Let's dig into it for a little bit and see what mighty treasures we might be able to find. For those, let's just read it in one bit to start with. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. In his glory. I'm intrigued that the first verse that we look at is, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So again, we've got the Father, the Son, and now the Holy Spirit. Now, with the word Holy Spirit, the Spirit part of the triune God is not a scary part. He's actually, another name he goes by is the Comforter. He gives gifts and he gives fruit. Who doesn't want to be in relationship with a part of God that gives gifts and fruit? That's a good part of God, don't you think? Good gifts. And the fruit is amazing fruit that helps us and enables us to walk. Now, whether we use Holy Spirit or, as in Randall's song, the Holy Ghost, joy in the Holy Ghost, or whether we start to get in other connotations, the same Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. It is God Almighty in form of Spirit. We know God the Father, the Creator. Jesus walked this earth and he got crucified and he rose again and he went back and seated at the right hand of the Father. And he sent his Holy Spirit. And so when we commune with God today, we are communing with God the Holy Spirit. Is that correct? That's where we're working in and through. We might say, Lord, I was speaking to Jesus the other day. We're speaking to God. You're speaking to the Holy Spirit. You're speaking to the Father. You might relate better to Jesus. I certainly pray to Jesus a lot. But when I pray, you might find I start with Father God 9 times out of 10. Why was that? Because when I was 20 and 21. But this part is the Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit, those who are led by God are children of God. And we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a freaky thing, it's a God thing. Which is sometimes a freaky thing, because God's ways are different to our ways. But it's not meant to go, oh my goodness, they're getting all Holy Spirit people. It's the reality of, if you're a Christian, if you walk with God, then guess what? You're a Holy Spirit person. Because the Holy Spirit lives and breathes in and through you. He's the one that enables that fruit to come out. No self-control comes from Donnie Johnson. Self-control only comes by the Spirit of God. Donnie Johnson likes to lose his cool. And he does it really well. Please feel free to talk to Cynthia and see how well I lose my cool. But the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. So for those who are led by God, by the Spirit of God, you are children of God. Do you feel like a child of God today?
Yeah.
Good. But just grab hold of that. I read a book when I was a young Christian called King's Kid, How to Be a King's Kid. And it was an amazing book. This guy, the author, who I can't remember, he walked with God as if he had God on speed dial on his... Oh, he didn't have mobiles in those days. As if he had God on a walkie-talkie. And he just get in every situation. And it was partly because he saw himself as someone special in God. Now, I know God has no specials, but in one way, we're all his specials. We're all special in God because we are his children. We are king's kids. We are pampered princesses. We are the children of the God Most High. That's a good thing to know, people. And I pray that one treasure you take home today is that you reaffirm that you are a child of the Almighty God, that you are a pampered princess, you are a king's kid. You are a part of this holy family that is God Almighty as the Father. But how do we get to be a part of this? And he says this, "For the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit that you received brought about your adoption to sonship and enables us to cry, Abba, Father." This is how we get to be kids of the kingdom. This is how we get to be joint heirs with Jesus. This is how we get to call God our Father, because we're adopted into God's family. We're in. There's so many passages through the New Testament where the story of adoption, or we're plugged into the vine, you know? It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I'm plugged into the vine. It's that reality that we need to grab hold of. And Jesus is using it, or Paul is using it here, in a way that we can understand as being adopted, adopted kids. Now, there's two interesting things here that the commentary writers brought up. One, and I'm not sure how this all works, because I don't know all the adoption laws back in the early church, but he said here very loudly and clearly that all adopted kids got all the same in the inheritance rates. Now, we don't talk a lot about inheritance anymore, mainly because the kids disappear, or the grandparents... What's that?
They do better than we do.
They do better than we do. And a lot of the grandparents are out spending the inheritance travelling around Australia, having a good time, which is good. I like to tell my mum, go for it. You go and enjoy, because you've worked really hard and I'm doing really well and I really don't need an inheritance. But this inheritance is in God, because we're his sons and his daughters. And you know what? It's the same as Jesus. And that's amazing. What Jesus went through on the cross, how do we step into that glory and suffering? But it's because we're a part of the family. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we are adopted. We are sons and daughters. The other interesting thing is that slaves were never ever allowed to call their masters Abba. That was forbidden. Massive punishment on any slave calling the master Abba, which is an interesting side thing, because we are called to call our God Almighty Lord Abba. Amazing pictures here for us. We are encouraged, in fact, we are told to cry out that God is Abba, our Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Have you had that happen? Have you had that witness in your spirit? Have you had that saying, yes, yes, I am a child of the Almighty God. Yes, I am a child of the King. If you haven't, then I'm going to pray about that at the end of this sermon. I'm going to pray that you will know that witness in your spirit that you are a daughter of Jesus, a daughter of the God Almighty, a sister of Jesus, a son of the King, a brother to Jesus. It's important that we understand our place in the kingdom of God. So we are one in God and God is in us. We are heirs of God, co-heirs with Jesus. And we get both the glory, yay, if we like that bit, and the sufferings. We get to walk the way Jesus walked. We get to live in obedience to the Father, because we are sons and daughters, and we get to call him Father. Let's pray. Father God, what an amazing opportunity that we each get to call you that. So many times and places there's this, you know, crawling on hands and knees, as it were, because we sense we are no longer worthy or able to participate, and the shame that we feel. And yet you lift up our heads and you say, my precious daughter, my awesome son. And you want to pick us up and hold us between your shoulders. You want to hold us. You want us to know that we are a part of your family, a part of the kingdom. That the blood is over each and every one of our lives. The spirit of adoption is on each of us. And that we are a part of the vine. We're not just a stick that's thrown off to the side. And so we say thank you. But Father, your word says here that your spirit testifies to ours and ours testifies to you that this is the case. And so Father, I pray that if there be anyone here today that is not sure that they have that testimony, that I'm a son of God Almighty, I can call him Father, or I am a daughter, and I can call God, the creator of all that is, I can call him Father. Lord, I pray that that area of intimacy, that we will step into each and every part of it. And Father, for many of us, myself included, when our earthly dads raised us, they were not perfect. And so I pray, Lord God, for your healing on any of the areas in our lives where we have misunderstood what a father is because of the earthly examples that we've had. And I pray, Lord God, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, bring healing and restoration to our spirits, that we might participate and commune with you in a new way as Father, in a new level, in a new understanding. Open our eyes, Lord God, and open our heart that we might see you as the Father, and we might receive one of your amazing hugs as only a dad can give a son or a daughter. May we experience that in only the way that you can do it for each and every one of us. And Father, as we know you as our Father, may we share it with other brothers and sisters who don't know you. I think of the prodigal who ran away. And Lord, I believe a lot of us know prodigals, whether they be sons or daughters, who have run away from you, have run away from your family, have been hurt by your family, or feel have taken offense from you. I pray, Lord God, that there would be healing and restoration for the prodigals. And I pray, Lord God, for those sons and daughters out there who yet to understand that they can talk to God as Father. I pray, Lord God, that across the Sunshine Coast, that those lost souls, those lost brothers and sisters, will come home to your family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Your challenge this week, as I said last week, I'm going to give you a challenge. Your challenge this week is to walk in the understanding that you are a son of Almighty God, or you are a daughter of Almighty God. If you can think about that each day and go, okay, how do I walk as a son of the King, or a daughter of the King? It may be interesting to see how your walk can change. If you would like prayer, then as Randall comes with the team and leads us in our last song, I'd love to pray with you. We have got other people that are on call to come up and pray. Leadership team will come up and pray with you as well. So if you'd like prayer, you'd like to pray into this area of knowing God as your Heavenly Father, then I would love to pray with you. It's a great treasure in God's Word, and it's available for you and for me. God bless you.